Marijuana, CBD, THC, hemp, cannabis? What are they? What's the difference? What's legal in our state? What are the health benefits? Why are people saying CBD is the new miracle cure for everything? Listen to Resurrection University's Thinking Out Loud podcast. They'll answer these questions and more. Everyone's talking about these three letters. Check out their podcast and find out why. Get the 411 on CBD and THC. Go to WGNRadio.com/thinkingoutloud. That's WGNRadio.com/thinkingoutloud.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, is your family kind of got the same attitude about this, or is it a source of friction?
No, I think we're more like you, John, and I think I mentioned this before. My wife is a physician, and she's actually part of the COVID intubation team at the ICU at her hospital, so she's extra super careful about these things.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So she is actually part of putting people on the respirators then?
Yeah, so, some COVID patients, unfortunately, they deteriorate and they have to go onto the ventilators. But to do that, you have to, intubate them. And as you know, that's a process, and there's spray, so to speak. And so she's wearing like a space suit at that point.
Hmm. How's your wife doing?
She's good. And the kids are good. Everyone's e-learning, so to speak, or not. And I'm here in Washington, D.C. today.
Just one last question about that, Congressman. It's not why we asked you to come on today, but I just would imagine that's really, though, traumatic. I would imagine that after a while, that would really wear on somebody. Don't they have to put those people, I'm speaking about the physicians in attendance that provide that service to patients, don't they have to induce a coma and then put the person on that? And it's usually a last resort for folks, isn't it?
Going on a ventilator is, I think, for lack of a better term, it's kind of the last resort, because at that point you're on artificial, you're in an artificial breathing apparatus. You can't breathe on your own. And so, it's not taken lightly, and the families and others are fully aware, they have to consent to having it done, and then,
wow.
Basically, at the end, you have to kind of bring these people back in baby steps to the point where they can breathe on their own.
Hmm. Congressman, can you tell us about the next round of stimulus? Will it be $1,200 and $2,400? Will it be $6,000? How much are people going to get? Are they going to get another round?
So that's what we're proposing as part of this, what we're calling the HEROES Act today. And it has a lot of components, but it does have another round of stimulus checks. And you and I have spoken about this before, but it corrects for some of the problems that were in the last round. So just as an example, it provides $1,200 per person, and the income thresholds are the same. However, this time around, dependents who are adults also get checks to the tune of $1,200 as opposed to $500 for dependents before. So that's one big difference. I think it's a correction, quite frankly.
Congressman, the fact that on unemployment you also get an additional $600 bonus, a bonus is the wrong word, but check, makes it difficult for some restaurants to call their employees back because they're making more not working than they would if they came back. And the employers can't use that money unless they get the employees to come back. We talked to a restaurant owner yesterday in Peoria, and he said that he's got the money, but they haven't cashed it at their business because they don't know if they're going to be able to get their employees back to work because they've been incentivized to not go back to work. Is that a flaw with the program, and is there a fix for that?
So in this HEROES Act, we actually extend the covered period during which they have to spend those loan proceeds from June 30th all the way to the end of the year, so December 31. So it gives them a lot more flexibility on when they need to spend that money by. It also removes what's called the 75-25 rule, which a lot of small businesses have had trouble abiding. Basically, 75% of the money needs to be spent on payroll, but as you said, in certain cases, they're not able to hire certain people back. Maybe they voluntarily terminate, for instance. and they decide they want to stay home because of they have to take care of their child, or they're themselves, you know, sick because of COVID. So what we tried to do here is to take notice of the realities of the workplace, extend the covered period, remove some of the restrictions, and make the PPP a little bit more user-friendly.
Darren LaHood, your colleague from Peoria, just by the way, we've been talking to some folks downstate lately, and of course he's Republican on the other side of the aisle, was very critical of Nancy Pelosi's House plan. He said that there's, I don't know that he used the word pork in there, but he said that you guys are asking money to be spent on things we have no business spending money on now, including...
Well, I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
It includes a two-year suspension of the salt cap, which, you know, personally, I don't know, we don't benefit from that here in Illinois.
The salt
we
cap.
Suffer
What's
from
the salt
it.
Cap?
That's the cap on state and local taxes that you can write off on your taxes. So right now it's $10,000, so people in high-tax states like Illinois will lose a very valuable deduction. There's a suspension of that in this bill, and that's something that's going to work for Democratic candidates like Raja Krishnamoorthy running for re-election in November.
Well, I personally think that, you know, if you live in the Chicagoland area, you absolutely want to see this particular provision because it's unfair. It was put into the tax code in 2017 in a way to punish blue states, and therefore I absolutely think that this type of relief is appropriate now when we have almost 20% unemployment. I mean, I personally think that that makes sense. The biggest component of this package today is the money for state and local governments. And here we are getting, you know, letter after phone call from not Democratic or Republican mayors, but everybody who is basically saying that we are on the brink of financial collapse. We're going to be laying off police, firefighters, EMS, and sanitation workers vital for fighting the pandemic. And, you know, we need these funds. And so I think that is the one, you know, one big ticket item, so
All
to
right.
speak, today that we have to vote on.
I want to talk about the airline business, and I know you do, too, in just a minute. But I just want to argue Darren's point just a little further. Even if that's a good idea monetarily, that's what this should all be about. If it becomes divisive, then it keeps the central task from happening, and that is getting money in people's hands. For instance, he said federal guidelines for elections. Why is that in there, for crying out loud? But you guys are going to put stuff in there now that you know the other side may have to swallow, even though they don't want to, because it's so imperative we get the money out. Could you respond to that, Congressman?
Yeah, I think this is I respectfully disagree with Darren on this particular issue. You know, the elections are coming up. You know, countless people are contacting my office about this very issue because they fear going to the polls in November and congregating to vote. They want to vote by mail. They want other states to have that ability. And it seems appropriate now where we're 6 months from the election to be able to provide some resources for that happening.
Raja, I wish you guys well on this, but the reason that the bars are open in Wisconsin, maybe to their detriment, is because the Republicans and Democrats had a call Thursday and they couldn't even agree on the plan to come up with a plan. So they're taking their chances north of the border. If the federal government does the same thing, we're all going to be the worse for it. I hope that you're going to accommodate the other side as much as you can.
Absolutely. I think we have to operate in a bipartisan spirit on this. We have passed four major pieces of legislation rather swiftly on almost a unanimous vote. Obviously, this is an opening piece of legislation. The Senate has not acted at all, and so this is, in a sense, kind of putting the items on the table to be negotiated, and hopefully we'll have a final bill in short order, but we can't not act. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell and others said, we think we're going to take a pause with regard to providing more relief. I totally disagree with that, and if you ask my constituents and others if there should be a pause in the federal government helping them get through this crisis, they'll absolutely say no, and so that's why we have to act.
Congressman LaHood said the pause would make sense because we just can't spend endlessly this money. I'll let you respond to that. All of our phone lines are busy, Raj, and a lot of people want to ask you questions, and you need to tell us what you're doing about some of these airline industry issues in a minute. Rajna Krishnamurthy, the Chicago area congressman, a Democrat. We visited with Darren LaHood, the Republican, earlier this week, is on a phone line. Raj, before we take some phone calls, what's going on with the airline industry? What are your plans about all of that?
As you know, the airline industry did receive help as part of the original CARES package because, you know, quite frankly, they were grounded they were experiencing what they call negative revenue because not only were they not having new bookings, but they were having cancellations. And so they were given some support. I'm the chairman of the House Oversight Subcommittee on Economic and Consumer Policy. One of the things that we discovered is that a lot of people purchase travel insurance associated with trips. And at the time, they thought that the travel insurance would cover potential, cancellations for, COVID-19 issues. Well, unfortunately, though they thought this, and some travel insurance carriers did not clearly make it plain to them that it was not covered, they went ahead anyway, purchased it, and now, of course, the carriers are refusing to cover their claims, and we're investigating, you know, whether they misled the people who purchased the insurance. So, you know, this is something that is going to continue to develop, and we're going to continue to pursue it.
I think a lot of people feel like the airlines should reimburse the cost of their ticket, either because they can't travel, the flights have been canceled, or because they don't want to travel, they're not going to go to San Francisco now. Do you agree with that?
I think that for certainly in the case where the airline has canceled the ticket, the usual practice is a refund. And I think that should, you know, that's something that the airlines should observe. I think that there's some legislation out there with regard to allowing for a similar policy if the traveler decides to cancel. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but, I think it's plain that, you know, travelers are very concerned if they can't get cash at a time when they need it.
I'm going to pick up a couple of phone lines for you, Congressman, and Karen is one of them. You're on WGN with the congressman. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have a question. I received a $1,200 check issued to my mother, and next to her name, even on the check, it says deceased. She's been dead for 2.5 years. Just a question. I don't know how to return it, where to return it, and proof that it's been returned so that they can't come after me later for it.
Oh. A lot of people have told us to tell you, don't return it. Cash it.
No.
Well, you can contact my office. It's 847-413-1959. And we will kind of advise you in your particular case. But, you know, good for you for not necessarily cashing it. And
if they know the person's deceased and they put it on the check, why are they sending a check, Congressman?
These are good questions. I think that the Treasury Department and the Trump administration, if I had to be partisan about it, I would criticize them for just a sloppy implementation of this program. But on the other hand, I do think that they were trying to make an honest attempt to get money out the door as quickly as possible. This is obviously an error that needs to be corrected.
And the funny thing is I got the check probably about 10 days ago, and yesterday I just received a letter from our president saying that he sent me the check with his signature on it.
Okay, but for the people whose family member has passed away in the last 365 days, some of those people are saying logically they are in the system. The system doesn't know they've passed away yet, maybe. They're getting those checks, and we've had financial advisors say, go ahead and cash it. They're not going to prosecute you for it. In fact, they're not supposed to.
Well, I don't want to necessarily be preachy about this. I think there's a chance that you necessarily won't be pursued because of it. But I just salute this caller for wanting to do the right thing.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Karen.
Thanks for your help.
I'm going to put you on hold just to make sure Ashley gives you that phone number for the congressman's office. This is Carol. You're on WGN. Hi, Carol.
Well, good morning.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I don't have a question. I was just telling your young lady who answered the phone that my husband is a dentist in Marengo, and we are putting together our own PPEs because we can't get any. But we've got patients who've been waiting for 2.5 months for an appointment that we've, you know, had to put off and had to put off. And it is possible to do it, but it's quite an endeavor. We have put in UV lights that run all the time when no one's in the office. With circulating fans, we have an air filtering system with UV lights in that. We are getting ready to take temperatures. We've got air filtering for our own PPEs that we've put together.
Carol, I'm glad you called. I want the congressman to react to all of this. What's the name of your husband's business? What's the dentist's office?
It's Cambridge Dental okay. in Marengo, Illinois.
Hold on a second. Congressman, what do you say to all of that?
Well, I say that thank you for trying to arrange for this PPE. I think at the federal level, this is one of the top priorities that the government should pursue, which is invoking what I call the Defense Production Act for the production of this very vital supply of PPE that we don't have in order to reopen the economy. And we are still being contacted, John. I just got a call. I did a teletown hall the other day. We had thousands of people on the line, and a gentleman called in and said, hey, everyone has a mask. I don't have a mask. He's an elderly gentleman. He said, where can I get a mask? You know, and so we said, we'll arrange to have masks delivered to you. But that should not happen. We should have this in order for people to be able to function in the economy.
Good luck to y'all, Carol, and Cambridge Dental. This is Mark with Congressman Rajah Krishnamurthy. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. My question was, I don't think the congressman, to my satisfaction, answered the question about how are you going to get businesses, their employees back, if you're making it more valuable to stay on unemployment.
Shall I answer, Jen?
You're on.
Okay. So for right now through July 31, there is an extra $600 payment that the federal government is paying to unemployed people. Basically, in part, it's to assist them with a lot of extra expenses that they have now that they didn't have while they were working. One of the biggest expenses, which we haven't talked about before, but basically it's health insurance. Once you leave your employer, you do not have health insurance except for the possibility of paying for COBRA. And as you know, COBRA is a lot more expensive than what you normally pay on a monthly basis. And so that's in part why the additional funds are being paid. Now, as for employers hiring back employees, I sympathize with what Mr. Mark said a moment ago. I was a small business person, and I understand the dilemma, and that is in part why we want to add the flexibility, especially in PPP, so that, for instance, if you laid somebody off and you want to hire them back at the same terms, that does not get counted against you for purposes of loan forgiveness. Similarly, extending the covered period and removing certain other restrictions.
I want to get one more call in here. Mark, thank you for the phone call, and because several people are about to say what Carl is going to say. Carl, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Yes, hearing you talk about a second stimulus, what about the people that never got their first stimulus?
Pardon me, Carl. I'm glad you got in there. Congressman, so people still don't have the first check. What's going on with that?
Yes, so as you know, there was a delay in sending out the paper checks because the president wanted to send out that additional mailing from himself. But what's going on there is
that... was just a couple of days, Rajah. That was just a few days, right? The fact that people don't have their checks now doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump's signature. Am I right?
Well, I think that right now what's happening is that they are going from lowest adjusted gross income to highest adjusted gross income,
right,
and they're mailing it out in tranches. Again, people can contact us personally, and we can try to figure out the status of where their check is at.
I know your office is really good about that sort of constituent service, even for some people that aren't in your district. The number, again, Congressman, for your office is what?
847-413-1959. And can I just address one last thing you said, which is I don't think there should be any delay whatsoever for any purpose in sending out this money. This is what people need right now. They're desperate. We get calls now for the first time, John, we're getting calls into my office for food assistance on a big on a broad scale. That is a very sad phone call to take, especially you know, from a family with children. We are in really desperate condition. We need to get help to people right now. There should not be a pause in relief to these folks.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, we always appreciate your time. 847-413-1959. The president's going to speak maybe in 3 minutes. We'll let you go and listen for him. Thank you, Congressman.
Yes, sir. Thanks, John.
Always appreciate your time. It's 1057.